So welcome again. So glad you're here. In the month of November, the Centers for Spiritual Living monthly theme has been Living as Compassionate Conduits. And my talk title today is The Grateful and Cheerful Receiver. And often people reference being a cheerful giver. We hear that from the Bible. In Corinthians, it says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Everyone according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. But as we know from the law of circulation, giving and receiving is a reciprocal action, isn't it? It's the ebb and flow of life. It's the yin with the yang. When we accept something, we are part of the flow. And it is a deeply embedded part of our nature to know how to receive. It's actually one of our great birthrights. And yet sometimes, for a number of reasons, we don't believe we can receive our good. Maybe we feel unworthy or undeserving. Or we might believe that our only value is in giving. That's what we're going to look at today. And in the Science of Mind magazine this month, Margaret Stortz, who's a wonderful writer, had this little reminder from Ernest Holmes. And he said, fear prevents us from receiving. Holmes believed that fear is the only thing that keeps the complete givingness of the spirit from being received. Fear arises from the mental attitude which limits the possibility and the willingness of the spirit to give us the good we so greatly desire, he wrote. This tells us that there's no spiritual quirk within God that gives to some of us but not to others. That is, it is only this the disinclination to receive that may keep the divine good away. So it's up to us. Perhaps at some time we were told we were not good enough. We were not smart enough or beautiful enough to receive. And it now becomes up to us to root out those untruths and give the divine a clear mind through which to work. What if we know that nothing has happened in our lives, that nothing that has happened in our lives can change our divine essence? What if we really knew at our core that we are whole, perfect, and complete? What if we understand that our divinity is irreversible, that there's nothing we can do to cause the infinite to withhold its good from us? Except our limited thinking. Which makes me think of how we take a compliment. How do you receive a compliment? Think about that. I don't know about you, but I remember for a long time when someone would compliment me on, let's say, something I was wearing, I would say, oh, this old thing, yeah. That, thank you, but yeah, it's nothing. Or if someone would compliment me on something I did, a task, I would say something like, oh, it wasn't me, I had a lot of people behind me helping me. But what we're really doing when we do that is we're not honoring the gift that someone's trying to give us. I remember Reverend Maggie, in a talk years ago, was saying, when we were talking about this whole idea of how we receive a compliment. And so I started to really notice that and change my attitude. And she would say, just say thank you. You don't have to justify. Just say thank you and leave it at that. So when someone compliments me now, I try really hard. I don't always remember, but just to say, I say thank you. But what she said to do is to say to the person, would you say that again when they gave you a compliment? Do you remember that talk? I love that idea. So when someone gives me a compliment, I can say thank you, leave it at that, and then ask them, would you say that again? So that you can hear it again. You get the gift twice. How wonderful is that? You know, it's such a simple thing, compliments, but when we brush it off, it's saying something to the universe. So Edwene Gaines has a really cute little story. And Edwene Gaines is a wonderful Unity teacher. And she wrote a book called The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And I'm going to share this with you. It's very similar to what I just mentioned. She said, on this spiritual pathway, you're going to get a lot of gifts. And you have to accept them all. Because you bless the giver when you receive them. Hear that. You're blessing the giver when you receive them. Even if you don't want them, you have to receive them. Doesn't mean you have to keep those gifts. You can pass them along to someone else, but you do have to receive them. She says, in my first ministry in Knoxville, Tennessee, one of the elderly women in the congregation came up to me one day, and she said, I'm making you a special gift for Christmas, and I just can't wait to give it to you. Well, I knew that this woman made fabulous quilts, so I got all excited thinking, she's going to make me a quilt. And every week she'd come up to me after service, and she'd say, oh, I worked some more on your gift, and I know you're just going to love it. It's really coming along now. Well, I just got more and more excited about it, and I just couldn't wait for Christmas, when I could snuggle under my beautiful new quilt. Well, Christmas came, and the woman called me, and she said, my son is here, and he has a flatbed truck. Could we bring your Christmas present over? I was thinking, what in the world? And she's Southern, so she would say it like this. I was thinking, what in the world has she made that she needs to be hauled over in a flatbed truck? Well, they came over, and I saw the son carrying a huge piece of plywood. Then he set it down, and he turned it around, and I saw what she had made was not a beautiful quilt, but a 6-foot-tall portrait of a rooster. Made entirely out of macaroni. You can picture it, right? I was speechless. I put the rooster in my living room for a couple days, and I knew by looking at it that the Lord had laid a burden upon my heart. I also knew that there was somebody else out in the world who would really love to have that rooster in their home. And so I eventually took it down to the Salvation Army so that person would have a chance to find it and be delighted by it. The point here is that you must receive, no matter what the gift, what form the gift comes in. That rooster wasn't the right thing for me to have in my life at that particular time, but this lady was so pleased to give it, and I was so touched by the love behind it and the great care she put into making it. She blessed me by caring enough about me to give me a gift. And I blessed her by receiving it. So think about that next time you get a compliment. You are receiving a gift. Don't brush it off. It really means a lot. So the reality is, and are you willing to do that when you get the next compliment you get, would you be willing to just pay attention to just saying thank you, right? More, please. The reality is, the truth is, we're in an ever-flowing cycle of giving and receiving. It's the literal process of our breath. We breathe and take in oxygen, and our out-breath, we give carbon dioxide out. We're constantly breathing in and out, receiving and giving. And did you know that the words for spirit and breath are the same in many languages? So that every time we consciously breathe, we are embracing our own spirit. So Ernest Holmes, our founder of the Science of Mind, has something to say about giving and receiving, of course. And this is from Living the Science of Mind, a great book with short essays. And he titles this, Receiving is as Important as Giving. He said, we never need to beseech the law to operate for us. For if there is but one mind in the universe, our mind is some part of it, and its nature is to respond to itself. Nothing can hinder the divine from flowing into us except our own free will. The sun may be shining even while we persist standing in a dark basement. I'm going to say that again. The sun may be shining even while we persist in standing in a dark basement. The manna may be falling, but we refuse to gather it. He says, now we must come out of our basement of despair into the sunshine of truth, into the warmth and color of divine recognition, the instantaneous awareness of the allness of good. God is life, and life gives itself to us. It does not give some of itself, it gives all of itself. But the gift, without a receiver, cannot complete itself in individual life. Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was one of Ernest Holmes' influences, said that we are compelled to perceive that we are beneficiaries, that we stand in the light, and the light is all. Then he tells us, Emerson, to get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuit. What's that bloated nothingness in you? Sometimes it's our ego, sometimes it's our judgment, sometimes it's our resistance. That bloated nothingness, when we have that bloated nothingness, the divine cannot come through. That closes off those divine circuits. What an interesting image, huh? So this getting out of our own bloated nothingness is exactly what spiritual mind treatment does for us, doesn't it? It declares that there's nothing in us which can keep our good away. Treatment always declares the presence of good and the operation of the law of love. It is a conscious, active recognition of spiritual presence, force, law, and spiritual order. So think about it. If we have given out but a little, we receive only an equal amount coming back. But we can begin to give out more, he says. And just as surely as we do this, more will return to us. This giving and receiving are at the center of our own being. The going out from us is but one end of the coming back to us. Ernest says, the whole thing is so simple that its very simplicity eludes us. We try to make it so complicated. And we look for a more profound reason for the universe being in balance. But think about it. That which we refuse to give out not only closes the door on the giving, but on the receiving as well. So to refuse to give is to refuse to live to the fullest extent. To refuse to give love is to refuse to receive love. So if we know that we ourselves are centers of distribution and centers of accumulation, that the two are identically equal and interchangeable, and we know that nothing interferes with us but ourselves, we are free to act as we would be acted upon. You will reap what you sow. That's what we talk about. Ask and it shall be given. So are you ready to receive? So where do we position ourselves in the ebb and flow of the universe? Have we positioned ourselves in such a stance of interconnectivity? Or are we standing in such a way that we eclipse the sunshine from other people? No, only I can have this. Do we have our back turned to that same warmth? Or have we positioned ourselves in such a way that the sunshine washes over us and it still can reach everyone else? We need only really pivot in the direction of our good. Are you willing to pivot yourself in the direction of good?
Yes.
Can you open your arms and be ready to receive all the good and the bounty that the universe has to offer?
Yes?
Yes.
Well, I think an honest answer for many of us is sometimes. Sometimes. Sometimes we're open to goodness, open to receive. Or perhaps you are in a space of receptivity that every darn day you say, yes, I'm receiving, it's wonderful. And it could also be that your answer of receiving is no. No. It may be that this open stance of this invites too many risks. It's scary. It provokes undesirable feelings, unworthiness, guilt, shame. And if that's your experience, you're not alone. not alone. The wonderful Brené Brown said of all the thousands of people she's interviewed and studied over the years, only about 15 to 20% were folks living with their whole hearts. Folks who were really all in when it came to their relationships, for instance. What qualities did these people have that made them so capable of both receiving and giving love? She discovered that these were people who deeply believed that they were worthy of love and belonging. These folks believed this regardless of circumstances. Unlike the majority of many of us who think, oh, I'm worthy of love and belonging a little bit, but I'll be really worthy when I get promoted. Or I'll be super worthy when I lose 20 pounds. Or I'll be worthy when fill in the blank. But those 15 to 20% folks believed they were lovable and that they had a place in the world. And that those beliefs translated into specific choices they made every day. They recognized when those feelings of shame came up, and they knew how to deal with it. They recognized their vulnerability, and they were willing to feel it rather than ignore it or push it away. So these 15 to 20% of people live in a full-hearted way where they can easily both give and receive love. And essentially, when you think about it, that means they're in that synchronistic divine flow. There's no impediment. There's nothing blocking that ebb and flow. So she says, Brené Brown, that these findings suggest that what causes the ability to really receive as well as give is whether or not we believe we are lovable at our core. Take a breath with that. Do we believe that we are irrefutably valuable? That we don't need any benchmark or a success to prove it? And I believe that when we know our value, we are more in touch with our feelings, and both feelings, positive and negative. And that helps us become big-hearted, become givers of good and receivers of good. Are you willing, maybe today, to welcome your worthiness?
Yes.
Why not? To welcome your lovability. You know, we hear a lot that you don't need to be any cuter, you don't need to be any smarter. That divine within you is already perfect, loving and kind. So how do we get there, though, if we're not there? How do we get to that place of really feeling wholehearted? How do we align ourselves with flow such that we give and receive with no hesitation and joy only? And yes, there are many paths to this. Last month, I talked about our spiritual tool belt. So we can use our daily spiritual practices to remind us of who we truly are. We can work with a life coach, or a spiritual practitioner, or a minister. We might work with it in a recovery group, through journaling, or perhaps in a conversation with a loved one. Or just maybe, a shift happens in the quiet over time in how we connect to that divine spark within us. Remember the meditation today. That divine spark is right inside. It's inside all of us. One thing is certain, though, that what we intentionally welcome into our lives can have a tremendous impact on how big our heart can be and how available we can be to receive goodness and to receive our life being breathed by the universe. Open your arms wide if you're able, if you're not driving. What does that feel? feel like? If you were standing up, I am willing to receive my good. Let's say that out loud together. I am willing to receive my good. Try to say it out loud if you can. I am willing to receive my good. One more time. I am willing to receive my good. Take a stance. Take dominion. Feel it. You deserve it. You're worthy of it. Whatever it is. Your good health. Your good mind. Your good relationships. Peace of mind. Anything. Your good is at hand. Now place your hands over your heart. Take a breath. Close your eyes. How does that feel? How does that feel? And if it feels good, amplify it right now. Amplify that feeling of good. I deserve it. Remember Emma Curtis Hopkins, there's good for me and I ought to have it. There's good for me and I ought to have it. There's peace for me and I ought to have it. There's love for me and I ought to have it. Let's create heaven on earth right now. Why not? Amplify the feeling. Amplify the feeling. Even if it's tiny for you, receive your good, whatever it is. Cultivate within your own heart the ability to receive and tune in to God's rhythm of circulation. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. You're tuning in to the rhythm of circulation through the divine flow right now. That ebb and flow of life is just waiting for you to say yes. Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
Let's tap our 5 minutes. There's good for me and I ought to have it. I love that. So let's take that into prayer. How good it is to simply remember the one power, one presence, one infinite source of good. God, divinity, infinite intelligence, source, spirit, whatever name. Call forth that within your own awareness right now. Breathe it in. God, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. And I'm knowing that this all-knowing essence contains wholeness, unity, love, peace, order, prosperity, abundance, health, wholeness, grace, flow, so much more. It is the ever-givingness of life itself. And each of us are unique waves in this ocean of life, the ocean of the divine. We are never separate from the One. Because as you think of it, the wave is never separate from the ocean. The wave contains all of the qualities of the ocean. So do we. And so today, I'm grateful to remember that we can light that spark within us just by saying yes. That we can open our arms to all the good that is available to us. And I bless everyone in this community and everyone who is listening to this service today, knowing that right where you are is something shifting in consciousness. Maybe letting go of a belief of not good enough, letting go of shame and guilt, being able to let go of fear and worry, and open to that divine possibility of good. All we have to do is say yes. I am open, I am receptive. And so we do. And when we do, I know something wonderful happens for each of us. There's a shift, there's an opening, there's a phone call, something opens up. It's the law, it's the way it works when we say yes. Receive and give and receive. We are open conduits right now. It's happening now. And so I am grateful, so grateful to speak this word on behalf of everyone, knowing that something is happening for the good. We let go of the lesser and claim the greater in our lives, and we are blessed. And so I release this word into the infinite law that is always working, and so grateful that we can just let go, let God, and know that all is well, and everything is unfolding exactly as it needs to. So it is.